This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just a quick update. I felt like it might be useful since I mentioned something in Jumu'ah, but it didn't quite clearly come across because of the audio issues that StreamYard was having. But be that as it may, so we witness now the ICJ coming back and speaking about their findings so far. So I thought, you know, there's some confusion around this for people. People don't really know how to take what we just witnessed. And there are some things that we could perhaps get some further clarity on from, you know, the more affluent in terms of law. However, one thing we did know was that we were going to face a long, long hearing if the court approves of this case. So that's what we actually heard today. We didn't hear the ruling of whether this was a genocide or not. What we heard was the ICJ coming back to tell us, did they find that they are actually within their jurisdiction to rule over this claim of South Africa, this case of South Africa, which they came back with and said, absolutely, yes, it is within their jurisdiction. Does South Africa have a standing? Yes, South Africa has a standing. They have all the right to bring this case forth. Therein is already a victory, because now what they've told Israel basically is that, listen, you guys claim that you know we must throw this case out and we mustn't listen to them, but your claim is baseless, so we will listen to them. Then they went on to explain that they have prima facie evidence that means, from, you know, ostensibly looking at everything that has occurred, this could well be a genocide. But they can't declare a genocide yet. Based on the court's procedures, they actually have to listen to the evidence. So herein, again, is the second victory, because subhanAllah, Israel will have to sit there and the world will have to sit there and everyone will have to watch South Africa presenting evidence against Israel that they have committed a genocide. In other words, we're going to have possibly, hopefully not, but possibly years to speak truth to power. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best form of jihad is kalimatu haqqin 'inda sultanin ja'ir. It's speaking a true word to an oppressive, tyrannical ruler. So it may not be what you expected, but believe me that in that there's a victory that I was actually quite surprised by, bearing in mind that the judges, we know that some of them have, their countries at least have biases. We know that for a fact. We knew that there's an Israeli ad hoc judge on board. We didn't expect Uganda and their judge to be as pro-Israel as they were, voting against all the measures. But what we also thought was that, look, the leader of this PAC is an American. So I did not think too optimistically about what the potential is today. I thought that they could well throw out the case and say, well, it's not our business. They could have been completely biased. I was hopeful that they wouldn't be, and alhamdulillah, they were not, at least apparently so. As far as the judges' voting is concerned, the proportion of those who voted for temporary measures versus those who voted against, in almost all instances, was like everybody against one, so like 15 to 1. And this means that even the Israeli judge voted for some of the temporary measures, whereas the Ugandan judge just voted against all the temporary measures. The court also stated that they've given specifications as to what are these temporary measures. They didn't specifically say it's a ceasefire, but some of the things that they said, it's kind of ambiguous to me. Because they're saying that there must be no harm, there must be no killing of the population, they must put in measures to ensure that they are not harming the civilians, etc. And they have 1 month within which they must report back on that. So I'm not too clear on exactly what that means, but it's not an all-out ceasefire. And they said that they are not obliged to follow the temporary measures that were suggested or that were put forward or requested by South Africa, that they could have pursued their own temporary measures. So be that as it may, they decided to pursue these temporary measures. So again, they could have stated, you know, we're not going to ask for any temporary measures. We want to first figure out whether this is a genocide or not. Now, the reason why they did not do that is, you know, the whole basis of this thing is if there's a genocide taking place, we can't sit in court for years and try to determine that it's a genocide, legally speaking, while the genocide is actually happening. We have to put certain measures in place. So their measures was essentially, you have to take precautions, not precautions, you have to take measures against genocide. You have to provide aid and the like. So they've given a list of measures. Now, in that, we need to speak to our legal experts. I'm going to speak to Advocate Anwar Albertus again, if I can manage to. If not, I'll try to find somebody else just to figure out exactly what these measures entail and what can we expect as far as implementation is concerned, because the ICJ has no, they've got no authority to force Israel to do anything. The rulings are binding, but the force or the enforcer is supposed to be the UN Security Council. Now, Allah alone knows what the UN Security Council is going to do, because, you know, that's where America just vetoes everything. Veto this, veto that. Yes, salam. It's my new favorite word. If people start giving their opinions, then I just say, I veto that. As if to say, you know, you can do anything you want. So we'll see what happens. But as far as this case is concerned, Israel will be made to sit in the court, the representatives, and the world will watch as South Africa once again speaks truth to power. For how long, Allah alone knows. But this means that now we're going to hear the actual court case, where one by one, evidence will be brought forward and analyzed, and there'll be witness accounts. And I don't know the extent of how similar this type of court runs to a, you know, a traditional criminal court, but it's going to be speaking truth to power. Do I believe that this is a victory for South Africa? It is a victory for South Africa. It is a victory for Gaza. It is a victory for Palestine. Not the type of victory that we would love to see right now. What we would love to see right now is a complete ceasefire and into the apartheid and into the occupation. We would like to see that reparations be made to the Palestinian people. We would like to see a complete removal of the illegal occupation of Palestine. That's what we would like to see. But I would like to remind myself and yourself about the fact that when the Prophet ﷺ was in the trenches and it appeared to be, you know, that the believers were at the lowest state, the Khandaq, and they came across some stones. These are reports that are attributed in the Seerah. They came across some rocks that nobody could remove or destroy. At the Prophet ﷺ, he took the sledgehammer or the pickaxe, whatever you want to call it, the tool, and he knocked and he saw some sparks fly. And in that moment, he reminded the Sahaba, or he told the Sahaba, that I see the castles of Persia, I see the castles in Damascus, I see these huge empires being conquered by the Muslims, Islam spreading there. You can imagine at that time, the munafiqun especially, were thinking like, what are they talking about? They're like here in the trenches trying to defend their city against the allies coming from the outside. And they're talking about conquering the empires of the world. How is this, you know, even sanity? The Prophet ﷺ didn't see those conquests, but he struck that rock and he remained optimistic. He took the mission of building that khandaq, of digging that trench, even though it wasn't something that he was divinely instructed with, nor was it something that the Arabs were used to. Salman al-Farisi brought the suggestion and he followed suit, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place, the Sahaba saw that as a loss, like, astaghfirullah, how could we possibly agree to these terms? Right, we don't have the time to get into the details. But the Sahaba, especially Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, they felt as though this was a loss because we just agreed to terms that puts us on the back foot. But Allah refers to that occasion as a fathum mubin, a manifest victory. And Allah, of course, knew that following that occasion, that the Quraysh would break the rules of the treaty and Fathu Makkah would then take place in the 8th year after the Hijrah. And thereafter, between Fathu Makkah and the passing away of the Prophet ﷺ, more people embraced Islam in that period than in the entire period before that in the Seerah. So while we all witnessed, or rather those around the Prophet ﷺ witnessed what they described as a loss, the Prophet ﷺ took it as a victory. And every victory, he celebrated it as such, even though it may have seemed far-fetched for everyone else. I would like to advise myself to think about this in the same way, bearing in mind that true justice is only the justice of Allah. True justice is not going to take, they can rule genocide, they can rule these people are war criminals at the ICC, for example, and they can even incarcerate them. What they are doing, what they have been doing, and what they continue to do, that type of justice can never be served here in this world. That type of justice, they, subhanAllah, they're going to meet their justice on the day they meet Allah. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pursue whatever justice this worldly court has to offer. We should do everything in our power to stop what is taking place. So that is my comments about what took place earlier on. It is a victory. It is a victory. It certainly is not the type of victory that we were hoping for. Some people actually thought that today the court was supposed to say, it's a genocide, stop the war, ceasefire now. That was never going to be the case. This was just the report back on the temporary measures, the measures that need to be put into place so that a genocide isn't committed, while the court will hear the case of South Africa against Israel as to whether this is a genocide or not. Israel wanted the case to be kicked out of court, and that would have meant that they could just carry on and do whatever they want. Now they have a court order to put measures into place and to report back on those measures within the month. I think it's far too long. I think that it should have been a couple of days, but who am I to comment on that? I don't know how these things work. It just feels like it's too little. And Israel, unfortunately for them, and fortunately for all of us, they will have to sit and face the music. They will have to sit and listen to South Africa speak truth to power. And for that, once again, I am going to celebrate that victory and say Alhamdulillah, because we believe in an Allah who teaches us that if you show gratitude, I will increase you. If you show gratitude, I will increase you. That means let us celebrate this as a victory. Pray to Allah, thank Allah, and step up, do more. Do more, pray more. Protest more, boycott more, do what you have been doing and continue. It can be very fatiguing, you know, when you face this type of thing for more than 100 days. But whenever you feel like that, just remind yourself of what the people in Gaza and the West Bank must be feeling at this moment. Pray not only for the people of Palestine and Gaza, but for the oppressed people of the world. It's a bit of a dark time we're going through. There are always challenges. The Ummah has been through many challenges and will continue to go through many challenges. What's happening in India now is alarming, and our eyes need to be, we need to sort of keep track of the news, because the destruction of the Barbari Masjid and the building of a temple on that masjid is enough as a crime against Islam. But that is just the beginning of it. If you understand the history of what took place in India since 1947, again, the product of British imperialism, divide and conquer, where they put the Hindus up against the Muslims, and the Hindutva is now basically starting a process of cleansing India from the Muslims and building their imagined mythical temple on the site of this masjid. Now, this masjid is extremely old. This is like, I think, 500 plus years old that they destroyed. They destroyed it a while ago. Now they're building a temple on that site. But there's history there as to when the site was closed down, why it was closed down, and the various attempts to take over that place. This is happening currently. There's genocide in Africa, Congo. There's skirmishes happening throughout Africa and in Sudan. We know that there's war taking place there as well. UK and the USA have collectively bombed Yemen because of the actions of the Houthis in the Red Sea, where they physically took action to try and dissuade Israel, if you can say that, you know, by seizing the ships and causing issues with the economics. This is the time that we are living in. And through that, it's imperative that we understand our priorities, right? Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. I must save myself. I must save my family from the fires of Jahannam. I have my own trials and tribulations in my life, my own weaknesses to see to. But I should reserve a place in my heart for the state of the ummah. We should always reserve a place in our heart for the condition of the ummah, and we should always be aware of the condition of the ummah throughout the world. Because man ra'a minkum munkaran, the Prophet said, whosoever sees a wrong and injustice among you, that doesn't say a Palestinian injustice, a Palestinian wrong. It says if you see injustice or oppression or wrongdoing around you, change it with your hand. If you cannot do that, speak out against it. If you cannot do that, for the very least, feel something about it. Because if you don't, وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, that's the weakest form of faith. If you don't even feel anything about it, then that's a question mark on your iman. If you just don't care, it's not my problem. It's somewhere else in the world. Let somebody else deal with that. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, we need to be concerned. And this is not in support of those people who suffer from whataboutism. This is quite unfortunate that many people, they feel like the moment you speak about Palestine, what about the Cape Flats? The moment you speak about the Cape Flats, what about the people in Yemen? The moment you speak about the people in Yemen, what about the people in India? The moment you speak about the people in India, what about the people in Khayelitsha? There's always going to be a what about some other cause that's also significant, as if to say you cannot support the one cause unless you dedicate your life to all of them. So what happens then? We just shut down. We just stop caring because we can't keep up with all of these causes. Now, today in Jumu'ah we discussed, and I mention it again because of the settings of the sound, reserve a space in your heart for the condition of this ummah while keeping your priorities in order. Constantly pray for them. It takes nothing to just remember them in your dua at least. It's challenging to keep up with the news. Just have one or two sources and you stay up to date with those sources, but it's challenging to keep up with the news. But it's not challenging to keep up with 1 minute of supplication, 1 minute of dua. Make a time for it, perhaps after a particular salah, right? And it's a difficult time for us all as we prepare for the month of Ramadan, as we traverse this month of Rajab, going forward to the Isra and the Mi'raj commemoration that we traditionally celebrate or come together for, then going through Sha'ban. It's a special time for us, but our challenge, our overall trial is, look, how do you deal with the state of the ummah at present? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to turn a blind eye? I can't keep up with this. I need to feel a bit better about myself, so I'll just binge watch movies. I don't have time for this because I've got work to do, so I'll just ignore the messages, skip through the videos, not listen to people talking about it, and just look, I can't listen to this right now. I can't anymore. No, don't turn a blind eye. Just reserve a spot in your heart. Just reserve a spot in your heart. Number two, let us be grateful. Let us be grateful for what we have, because we are so blessed. Subhanallah. If you're listening to this live or afterwards, be grateful for what you have, because of what, you know, you can see the tests of other people. Be grateful. And then number three, prepare in whatever way you can to improve your relationship with Allah for the month of Ramadan and beyond. Prepare now, because it's the month of Rajab and that's what it's for. That's what we earmark Rajab for. So back to the ICJ case. I'm going to conclude on this note. I don't want to prolong this broadcast. I say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen for what we've got so far. It's not ideal. It's not the best. It's not exactly what we wanted, but it could have been so much worse. They could have thrown out the case. They could have said, well, we will not listen to South Africa at all. This is outside of our jurisdiction. Legally speaking, they wouldn't have been able to make a strong case for that. But the judges, you know, they could have ruled as they wished. They could have ruled according to their country's stances, as clearly some of them did. Uganda. Uganda, what is wrong with Uganda? I think I'm done with Uganda coffee and anything else from Uganda. because ajeeb. Naam. And then, you know, be appreciative of that. We are going to sit against them in this case in court for the foreseeable future, and we'll make them listen to every horror story that we've been witnessing, and the world will listen, and the world will watch on. And that truth to power is going to be something that South Africa, of all people, of all countries, my way of saying this is, look, we have load shedding, but our model campus appears to work with batteries. So, alhamdulillah, we will be that ones to speak truth to power. I'm saying we, you know, I mean, people speak about the soccer team or the rugby team as if they part of the team, in the team, we winning. But yes, this is certainly a South African celebration and victory, because now the court case is on. The fight has commenced. Israel has been given the first knock. Whether you think that it's a knock or not, believe me, to them, it's a knock, because they didn't want this to happen. They don't want to be answerable to anyone, you know? They don't even want to be answerable to Allah. Most of them don't believe in a God. But they will now, at least for now, be answerable to the court. And we pray that more success comes of this. And this is the beginning of the end. In fact, not even the beginning of the end. I think the beginning of the end was on the 7th of October. This is just another huge step. It is a huge step towards the liberation of our people. And bi-idhnillah, on the day of Qiyamah, the true ICJ, you know, just the court of justice, the absolute true court of justice will take them to task. Be that as it may, we continue next time. Bi-idhnillah. Jazakumullah khairan. Sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.